On CY Rock Hill, good pharmacy, Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 60 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road. Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. We've got a couple of people who want to have your vote on June the 9th. First one up is David Martin. He is an incumbent member of the State House of Representatives in Columbia, and he doesn't look too worse for the weary. I mean, how have you done so far, David?
I've lost a bunch of hair, lost a bunch of sleep, but I'm hanging in there so far.
All right. Take a few seconds and introduce yourself. Tell everybody about who you are and what you do.
Yes, sir, Manning. Thanks again for having me. This is the third time I've been here. A lot more calm today and a lot less nervous than before. So I'm David Martin, born and raised, third generation Fort Mill native. Mom was from Rock Hill, dad's from Fort Mill. lived here my whole life. Brother, sister, still out in York County as well. And so this is home. I've never been in politics before I decided to run for state house. Still trying to figure out why I decided to do that. Thank you, Ray Felder. But no, ultimately love what I do. Love the fact that I can have an impact on our community. That's why I ran. I've got three daughters, 18, 5, and 1. And so I've got the whole, you know, generation that I got to start over on. But very excited to be the state rep. Done some good things, I think, in the first 2 years, and excited to run for re-election June 9th.
Well, you've managed to accomplish quite a bit in a first term. Good job.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Most recently, what happened here this last week, I guess it was, Friday.
Yes, sir.
When Winthrop University and the Fort Mill School District announced a joint program, which you really got started.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, Manny. Very excited about that. That was one of my big accomplishments. That was one of my big goals I wanted to get done my first 2 years in office. That started with a conversation with me and Mayor Savage, who I've known for a long time, simply having a conversation about what does the future of Fort Mill look like and what do we need in our community to better help our small businesses, our teachers, and our families. And it just made sense with that old building over there at the Pike Building to be able to put a college of some sort in there. Excited to have a partnership with Winthrop University. Worked a lot with Joel Hamilton on this side of the river. And it's nice that we can build a bridge now between Fort Mill and Rock Hill.
All right, so you're a third-generation Fort Millian.
Yes, sir.
What else have you got back in the back of your mind that you'd like to do for Fort Mill if you get reelected?
Well, good question. I mean, I feel like I've done a lot already in my first 2 years. Biggest things I said I was going to do was support our Fort Mill public schools that I'm a product of. I wanted to fix our road and our congestion problems. I think some of the big things I've done already, I had $2 million added to the state budget this week that I was able to achieve. $1 million is going to go to Winthrop University for that project. The other million is a downtown renovation project to make our road safer. I've also had I was the one that pushed to have a light added at Catawba Ridge High School. That's being built right now. We had a light at Dobie's Bridge. I've expanded sidewalks. I've added turn signals on Claiborne and 160. I've done a lot of good things in terms of our infrastructure projects. My street takeover bill just had third reading in the Senate. If you recall, 2 weeks ago, there was a street takeover on I-77 up in Charlotte. That has become a significant issue in South Carolina. That was one of the first bills I filed working with the Sheriff's Department, Tony Breeden, Chief Zachary in Fort Mill. And so those are just a few of the things I've been able to accomplish my first 2 years.
Very briefly, explain street takeover.
Yeah, so street takeover is something. My brother was a cop here for almost 30 years in York County. He had never even heard of a street takeover. Basically what it is, you got a bunch of young people who decide at 12 o'clock at night to go take over a roadway, an intersection, a highway, and they basically use their cars and different things to block off the road, and they all coordinate to meet up at this one specific location at this time to do stupid stuff like Fast and the Furious, do burnouts, do wheelies, shoot fireworks, shoot guns. Well, it's now becoming a significant issue across the state, and I was the first one that kind of started to address it. And so started working with the sheriffs. My bill doesn't only go toward reckless driving or speeding, but it actually goes after the coordination and the coordinated efforts of the group. So you can charge them for being a part of that coordinated effort now.
All right. Speaking of Fort Mill, one of the things you've been very vocal about is Silfab.
Yes,
Silfab Solar. I think if you had your druthers, you'd just like to see it disappear. Now, realistically, what do you think is going to happen with this?
I continue to work on that pretty much every week. When they had the first chemical leak, I was the one that was able to work with DES to issue an immediate stop work order, especially after the second spill that same week. Ultimately, I think that if and I have a bill that I filed on this that's kind of stuck in the 3M committee right now. If you're going to come in there and say, I'm only going to assemble products, you should be held accountable to only assembling. You should not be able to manufacture anything. And I just thought it was a bait and switch tactic for Silfab to be able to come in there and say, hey, we're only going to assemble. But suddenly, once I get in there, once I get the tax credits, I get the permitting, I get the zoning, I get everything I asked for, suddenly I'm going to start manufacturing solar panels. That just creates a slippery slope across our state. I think it's an issue that has to be addressed when you put a school, put a manufacturing facility 500 feet away from a elementary and a middle school. That's something we cannot have happen in Fort Mill or any other place in South Carolina. I would like to see them go back to assembling only. They need to remove the chemicals out of there. They need to remove all that. And if they're not willing to do that, they just need to go somewhere else.
So if your legislation manages to get out of committee and get approved, would it be retroactive to an existing industry?
It would be, yes, sir. It specifically talks about the takings clause. It allows the York County Council to be able to make the decision to pull that permitting. And so that's exactly what my bill does.
And what is your read? You think this is going to happen?
I don't. Well, considering we have 3 days left in legislative session, I had it pass out of 3M subcommittee, but it's been stalled now in the 3M committee. I don't think my bill is going to come up. I supported last week. I actually put a proviso in the budget along the lines of what Michael Johnson had. My opponent's group, Elizabeth Enns, her Freedom Caucus members objected to my proviso being in the budget that would limit DES's ability to issue permits in the future as well. And so that was something I also requested. I supported Michael Johnson's proviso amendment, and that's what I was trying to accomplish on the House side. I'm hoping his proviso gets in there. That will stop DES from issuing permits in the future.
Okay, speaking of Fort Mill, can't seem to get off Fort Mill. By the way, you represent Fort Mill.
Yeah, that's my baby. So
roads. Yeah. I don't know what the ultimate solution is for Fort Mill. I mean, unfortunately, 160 goes right through the heart of downtown. There's no room to really widen that to get more traffic volume in and out of there. What are your thoughts?
Well, so this week's funny you brought that up, because this week there was a monuments bill that I filed an amendment to and actually got the entire House to sign off on it, and they supported my amendment. It would have caused significant issues for Fort Mill. And that's why, in my opinion, it's so important that we have somebody as your state representative who really understands the unique nature of our community. Under that bill, if we would have tried to make any congestion improvements, road improvements to any historical road in Fort Mill, we would not have been able to do so, and would have had to get joint resolution approval to make one repair, one consolidation, one widening project. My amendment probably saved the state of South Carolina hundreds of millions of dollars in litigation costs. We have to find better solutions. And I was a part of the SCDOT. The speaker asked me to be on the SCDOT Modernization Committee during the off session. I traveled all throughout the state, took feedback from literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people, had 24 meetings all throughout the state, and we just passed the roads bill last week. It's going to streamline processes, the environmental NEPA standards, going to streamline that process from 20 years down to potentially less than 3 years. It allows choice lanes. It's just going to completely transform our infrastructure throughout South Carolina. I think that's a start, but ultimately we have to find better ways to move traffic in and out of Fort Mill.
Yeah, you got to hit that nail on the head. All right, once again, another legislative session, another issue involving salaries and compensation for legislators. Last year it ended up in court, basically,
yep,
and couldn't move forward with that. What are we doing this year?
Well, great question. And this is something my opponent was like, well, David Martin supported a pay raise, blah, blah, blah. You know, what's funny is I voted twice last year as individual bills. I voted against both of those for legislative salaries. I'm not there to make money. I promise I am losing tons and tons of money by being in Columbia on a weekly basis. I think our whopping $10,000 salary that we get is a little, probably underpaid. But I'm also there not to make money. I'm there to represent our community. And so last year they added as a budget, basically as in the budget for an increased salary. I did not support that, but I was also not going to go against the great things that we got in the budget, like teacher pay raise, law enforcement pay raises, infrastructure, proper infrastructure. This year, it was different. This year, they actually added it as a proviso to the budget. The Senate did, and I voted against it this week. So I do not support the legislator pay raise at all. I think you knew what you were getting into when you came into office. I knew that my salary was going to be $10,400 or whatever it was. And so I would oppose any pay raise increases.
Of course, they're looking at it on a per diem basis. That's right. What they've been talking about, which is another way of getting dollars.
Right. And the money that I did receive last year from the increased pay raise, I actually gave that money back to nonprofits throughout Fort Mill and York County. And so my net was actually zero because we ended up not even getting that money last year when I gave it away to start with. So,
you know, another one of the issues that is, I think it's an unfortunate issue, is state of South Carolina has been very successful in the past attracting big names in industry. We have BMW here. We have Boeing. We've got, you name it, Volvo.
Yep.
So along comes Scout Motors.
Yep.
The deal between Scout Motors and the state of South Carolina, South Carolina is going to prepare the site. Scout Motors is going to build the plant. From my understanding, the state of South Carolina, I guess, didn't do a good enough job on estimating what it was going to cost to prepare the site. So they're $200 million short. Work has been done. Somebody's got to pay those contractors for the work they've done.
Right.
It's not Scout Motors asking for the money. It's the state of South Carolina. And yet this has turned around, and it seems to be a big black ball on Scout Motors.
Right. I wasn't here when that whole Scout Motors thing came through. That was, I think, the session before I had got in there. I think there ultimately has to be accountability. Somebody, it puts us in a bad position because ultimately South Carolina is on the hook for that money.
Yeah.
And if you don't, the amount of litigation costs potentially tied to that is significant. And so I don't want to pay for the overruns. I think those contractors should have done a better job of estimating what that cost was going to be. And ultimately, I think somebody at the Department of Commerce needs to be responsible for some of that as well. And we need to address on who's ultimately accountable for that to ensure that that doesn't happen in the future.
But the money's got to be in the budget.
Money's got to be in there because ultimately South Carolina's responsible. The legislators that were there before that voted in support of it, they ultimately made the, you know, they tied us to it. So, you know, not a big fan of the whole Scout thing. I think it's ultimately going to be good for the economy, billions of dollars of revenue, which I think is a great thing for South Carolina. That site is a colossal site, and I think it's going to create tons of jobs for South Carolinians. I just don't love the fact that there doesn't seem to be a bunch of accountability tied on that issue right now.
But with that being said, we have a world marketplace that we compete with for these industries. And everybody's offering some type of an incentive package.
Yep.
We can't sit here in South Carolina and say we have these beautiful beaches and beautiful mountains. You just need to come. We're not going to give you anything because they could care less. They can go anywhere they want to go.
Yep. Well, if we're going to do that, we need to start talking about our tax cuts for South Carolinians, right? I would much rather give tax cuts and get an income tax down to zero before I give large corporations significant tax cuts. If we can make those tax cuts for large corporations coming in South Carolina, we need to give our citizens the equal opportunity to have those same tax cuts.
Are you satisfied with this first step in getting the income tax down?
I think it's a $308 million, the income tax cut that for whatever reason my opponent calls it a tax increase, but the facts are it's a $308 million tax cut that takes our top line from 6.1 to 5.2 with a scaled stage to get to zero. And by this, all the estimates I've seen, it cuts our income tax if we stay at the same level by 2032 down to zero. I would love to see us accelerate that. In the past, we have accelerated income tax cuts. I would love to see us potentially look at how do we slow down on the budget increases? How do we potentially reduce our budget? How do we make people coming into the state of South Carolina pay for the cost of that? I think growth should pay for growth. And so ultimately, I would love to see us try to get down to zero as soon as possible.
Yeah. All right. A political question.
Yeah.
I have totally lost track with what's going on in the world. But I was surprised when the local GOP, the York County GOP, opted to endorse one candidate over another. Was that a surprise to you? I mean, you did not get the endorsement.
I'm not surprised by that at all, Manning. That group, I think me and Brandon Guffey and Heath Sessions are their three favorite people. You know, they have been an outspoken. Our York County GOP, I don't necessarily believe that they have the voice of the rest of the actual Republican Party in our York County district. As you know, that group was taken over by significant Freedom Caucus members a few years ago. They are led by Freedom Caucus. They only support Freedom Caucus people. And so it's no surprise to me that Elizabeth is getting their endorsement. Last year, a week before my election 2 years ago, they sent out some mailer that said, hey, David Martin is losing 90% by, on the Republican poll. And then this year, I think it was 90.3, I think I'm losing by, according to them. But obviously the vote did not turn out like that. I think I'm there to do what's best for District 26. They can endorse whoever they want, which I don't think they're allowed to endorse. I may be wrong on that. But regardless, I'm willing to have conversations with anybody. I'm ultimately trying to bring people to the table who want to find solutions to the problems. And that's all I care about in District 26.
All right, you got about 20 seconds left to tell everybody why they should vote for you,
great,
David Martin.
Well, I appreciate that. I think I have been the most effective freshman legislator in a long time in Columbia. I've been able to bring more money back to the community. I have been able to do things that matter to District 26. I'm not the type of person that ultimately bends the knee and just says, even though this isn't best for my district, I'm going to do something different. I've got the street takeover bill that will be passed next week. I brought money to the community. I fixed some of our infrastructure problems. I've added street signs. I brought the crossing guards in there last year before school started. Ultimately, I think I'm going to do what's best for Fort Mill always, and that should be the number one factor when people vote on June 9th.
David Martin, good luck to you. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Manning. Appreciate you.
And that's going to wrap up our first part of our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, anybody who's anybody knows what's coming up. We do fresh subs and salads at Substation 2. How we do it is in the white letters, and we're all going to chime it out at the time of three. Ready? One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll be back in just a moment.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Comporium's 1 gig zip stream gives you lightning fast internet uploads and downloads, faster transfers of large files, and all your devices working efficiently on the same network. For over 130 years, Comporium has helped our neighbors stay connected with right next door service. We're more than just a provider. Comporium is part of the fabric of this community. Always have been, always will be. Visit Comporium.com to learn about Zipstream 1 gig internet. Comporium, combining top tier technology with local customer service and deep community roots.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Yeah.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, brand new face, a guy I just shook his hand 15 seconds ago. Don't know anything about him. Andrew Clow, except he's got enough guts to get up there and put himself up for consideration for the office. Tell me how I pronounce your last name.
Clough. My Clough. Enough is enough. Vote for Clough.
Clough. All right. Okay. I had it spelled right, but didn't have it pronounced right. Okay, Andrew, tell everybody a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a union member. I work for American Airlines in Charlotte. I live here in Rock Hill. Been here in the area a few years now. Married to a Mexican immigrant, you know, so immigration is definitely on my list. And, you know, I live paycheck to paycheck. I'm working class just like the people.
So what do you do up at American Airlines?
I work on the ramp. I load, offload the flights. I've worked with American for 11 years now.
Well, that's a hectic job.
Yeah. Oh, God. I like working outside. It keeps me in shape.
I was going to say, you don't gain any weight more than that job. That's good for you. Yeah. All right. So why did you decide to jump into politics?
Well, for one, I mean, the whole state of what's going on now has been frustrating to me. And we need a change. I always see people up there who can't really be relatable to what everyday working people are going through. So I'm like, well, we need a working class person up there. Plus, one of the reasons is my wife, who's going through the process now for immigration. So it's a stressful and trying time for her and her family and my family, our family. It's just there's a lot of different factors. And I'm like, well, you know, plus my wife says I talk more than anybody. So you know, I'd be great up there.
That's right. If you get paid by the word, you'd be a millionaire, right?
Exactly.
So if you are successful with this.
Yes.
Do you have one or two, three key issues that you want to work on?
And inflation. The ridiculous prices. I just filled up my tank actually the other day. Mm. It used to cost me $30 because I drive an economy car, and now it's up to $60 to fill up. So as the leading producer in oil in this country, we need to use our own resources more, you know, and that will lessen gas prices, plus this war going on. So that healthcare, we need to expand Medicare, Medicaid, and put a cap on pharmaceutical prices. And then immigration, which obviously we need secure borders to keep the criminals out, but we also need a fair system so people do it the right way. More immigration judges and more better programs to fix backlogs as well.
It is amazing that we haven't figured out this immigration thing yet. I mean, we had the previous administration just let people flood in, which ruined it for everybody.
And now this one's too strict. We need a middle ground, basically, a middle ground.
Now they're having to herd off the bad guys and try to get them out. It is a mess.
It is
a first-class mess.
It is.
So your wife immigrated to this country?
Yeah, she immigrated. Like she's actually lived in Rock Hill a lot longer than I have. 25 years she's
really?
Been here. One son's in the military at Fort Jackson. Okay. She's raised kids, but she's still dealing with the process for her residency. She goes to court dates and so all this, but still, it's just how long the process is and strenuous, you know.
To get her citizenship.
To get her residency.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know. The process is all, I'm learning myself about it. And there's a lot of hardworking people. And so we need to find a middle ground, you know, to secure the borders, but let the hard workers come in, more K-1 visas, for example, for agriculture.
Okay, so you're out and about.
Yes, sir.
Are you knocking on doors and talking to people?
That's my main strategy is, you know, I haven't raised that much money. Fundraising is my biggest weakness, but I'm trying to take a different approach where I go knocking on doors, where I go out and meet people. And that's what people like. I go out because we have 10 counties in our district. A lot of it's rural. And I'll drive house to house meeting people. In fact, this weekend, tonight, I'm going all the way down to Sumter, since our district goes to Sumter, to knock doors in Sumter and today and tomorrow. But it's all about getting out there, meeting people. And I prefer to do the door knocking myself. I mean, I have volunteers on my team, obviously. But people want to see the candidate, you know, show up at their
house. Sure they do.
So they can talk to them.
So what are you hearing from the people that are willing to talk to you when you knock on their door?
That are willing to talk to me?
Yeah.
I hear a lot of people out, especially in the country, are like, hey, you got my vote because you're out here doing the hard work. You're coming to speak to me because they want somebody they feel that even after the election, after winning, is going to show up and continue to show up. Because that's important. A lot of representatives just stay in D.C., don't show up. But you have to be here. I always say you're ears in the district and a voice in D.C.,
yeah.
So, you know, and that's what you need to do. So I get a lot of positive feedback, actually.
You know, this district, all these congressional districts are so big. I've forgotten what you're representing. What, 600,000 people or
750,000?
750,000 people. How is that even possible? I mean, my God, geographically, just
it is. It's
traversing one to another.
I honestly think we need to expand the house. You know, put a cap, make the so you have more people or less people to focus on. Because you're right, getting to 10 counties is a big ordeal. And our district, as we see now, they're trying to change the maps right before election, which is not right because we've already worked, you know, our areas. We've already talked to people in those areas. So, so we do need to put a cap on the house, you know, and how many people we see.
Right. Okay, so you get down to Washington, D.C., which will be an experience in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine it would take 2 years just to figure out where the men's room is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge down there. I don't know.
Got an office. I'm a fast learner.
You know that we have in this country a tremendous polarization.
Yes.
Red hates blue. Blue hates red.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talks to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the mess that we have right now.
Yeah.
You can blame it on Democrats. You can blame it on Republicans. They both deserve the blame. And we're straddled right now with a $39 trillion debt that nobody knows, has the slightest idea how we're going to deal with.
Yeah.
People don't realize that a trillion is $1,000 billion.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So what do you think?
I mean, we obviously have to, there's stuff we have to trim to get rid of the debt. I mean, we got to start taking baby steps to get rid of it. We try to do it in one big bulk, it's not going to work. For example, a lot of private corporations or private companies that have government contracts, why can't we cut them out when we have, you know, when we have the government that works on these, like for military contracts, for example. We spend so much money on our military, which granted we need to because we need to pay our troops. We need to protect our country, but we don't need to pay a lot of independent contractors either, you know, when we already put funnel a bunch of money into the military.
Well, the bulk of the problem really is Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Two sacred cows.
Yeah.
That I don't know any politician who's got enough guts to tackle it. But if you're going to tackle it, that's where you need to start.
Exactly. My dad was a doctor, so, and yeah, he said dealing with health insurance companies was a nightmare. So I have a little insight there, but me personally, I would be for universal health care. Now, I don't know if that ever happened because doing the numbers, you have to be realistic about it. Probably tack on more to the debt. So realistically, I don't know, but in the meantime, we can expand Medicaid, Medicare, you know. Jobs. I'm lucky at American Airlines we have health insurance, you know, through our job, but and there are a lot of companies that do provide health insurance. It comes out of your check, obviously, but
sure,
you know,
absolutely.
That's been one issue the smartest minds have been trying to work on.
So what are you going to do when you go down there and you meet with the Democratic hierarchy? And the same thing is true with the Republicans. And they're going to sit down there and they're going to look at you as a lowly freshman and say, Mr. Claffey, here's the deal. You're going to do this and you're going to do this and you're going to do this. And if you don't do it, we're not going to give you any support for anything you want to do.
Yeah.
And how are you going to react to that?
I mean, I'm the one thing about me and my personality is it doesn't matter what side the aisle you're on. I can work with anybody. I work with a lot of people on the other party. I work with a lot of Republicans at work, and yet we have intelligent conversations. We may have disagree about policies at time, but we're able to come to a middle ground, and that's the key, coming up with a middle ground, because you may not agree politically and you may not want to have to do it, but maybe you bring something back, like say, hey, you want me to do this, but can we have like a middle ground? Maybe this would work better. It's called teamwork, you know.
All right, well, listen, good luck to you. Hope everything works out the way you hope it does. His name is Andrew Clough. He's a member of the, looking for your vote for the U.S. House of Representatives. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me, sir.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, one more time, we're going to tell everybody what the heck we do here at Substation 2. It's fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. In the white letters is how we do it. At the count of three, we're going to say it out loud. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.